Genesis chapter 41, if you would, please. We're going to continue talking about different characteristics in the Christian life. And I think you'll enjoy this one tonight. We're going to read from a portion of Scripture and here in Genesis chapter 41, and beginning in verse 1 through 16. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, I'll read, you listen, follow along. And we'll read these first 16 verses of chapter 41. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored kine, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto him, unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. The characteristic for tonight that I want to talk about is that of humility. Humility, being humble. And you say, well, why do we read this story? Because in verse 16, the Bible tells us that Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. You know, Joseph could have stood up and taken all of the credit. He could have taken all of the glory. He could have said, yeah, Pharaoh, that's right. I can tell you your dreams. I interpreted the baker's dreams. I interpreted the butler's dreams. They came true. I can interpret your dreams. Hey, I even had these dreams about my brothers and my father and all these things. And I just have the gift. Lay it on me. I can handle this. He could have done that. And how proud and arrogant that would have been. And I'm not so sure that God would have revealed it to him. And he probably would have been executed on the spot. That's how it could have gone. But he did not. Joseph knew who God was in his life. All through his life, we don't have time to review all of Joseph's life, but can I tell you something? Joseph honored God in every single aspect of his life. And here we find this characteristic of humility in Joseph. And listen, I hope you understand that as Pharaoh was hanging on every word of this young man, he said at the very start of his sentence, he said, "It is not in me." Pharaoh could have stopped him right there and said, "Let me hear it. Butler, you told me this story. You're done. Take this Hebrew. He's done. We're done here." And you know what? We that's how it could have been. And Pharaoh wouldn't have had to even let Joseph finish his statement. So it took enough courage to even stand before Pharaoh and say, "Look, Pharaoh, I can't, but God can. But God can." Hey, you know, sometimes being humble puts us in an awkward position. It doesn't really feel good, right? I mean, you're kind of nervous about it, being using this characteristic of humility. Because sometimes being lowly, modest, meek, submissive, opposed to proud, haughty, arrogant, or assuming, and that gives us a sense of uneasiness, doesn't it? We would much rather, show forth that self-confidence and that pride and that, it's a little easier to be that than to be the other. You see, God wants us, in light of Him, to have a deep sense of unworthiness, because we are unworthy. You know that when we admit to ourselves who and what we are, we then can move forward in the Christian life. When we know we're not all that in a bag of chips, right? When we're just not all that, no chips. And God is everything, then He can be made strong in our life. Doesn't He say about our weakness helps Him show His strength in us and through us? But when we're strong, what can He do? He's not going to be able to use that. You see, God wants His people to be humble. Listen, that doesn't mean you're weak. That doesn't mean that you don't have any confidence. It just means you know your place. God is everything and we are nothing. Joseph knew. Joseph was not careful to answer Pharaoh. He said, "Look, Pharaoh, I don't know the dreams. God does. It's not me, it's God." And listen, Joseph was promoted. He was favored. All of this stuff. But can I tell you something? Even Pharaoh gave credence to God Almighty because of Joseph's actions. Even Pharaoh. If you studied Egyptians in their studies, they believed that Pharaoh was God. Or a God. Hey, listen, that's a big thing. But being humble is something we must practice. Hey, listen, if you're ever going to get saved, ever, you've got to humble yourself before a holy, holy, holy God. You have to. You cannot be saved until you're lost. Without hope. Without hope. I cannot save myself. No amount of works can save me. I have to go to God for salvation. You understand that in Matthew chapter 18, the Bible tells us at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." He says we got to humble ourselves. If we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we've got to humble ourselves before God Almighty. Hey, if you say, "Yeah, I'm working on, I'm righteous, I'm religious, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get to heaven." No, you're not. No, you're not. Until you understand that you're nothing and He's everything, you cannot be born again. You've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him in humility. In Psalm 69, verses 29 to 32, David wrote, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. Let your heart and your heart shall live that seek God." You know, God wants us to come to Him. When we are without hope, without any other opportunities, salvation is in the Lord. Remember the thief on the cross? And as he was there, it says one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, said, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know that that man was in the ultimate state of humility, hanging naked in judgment for his crimes before all these people. Yeah. And yet, he defended the Lord. He said, "Hey, we deserve this." He doesn't. But he humbled himself and he looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me. I know I'm a sinner. I know the things that I've done. I know the things that I've committed. Remember me." And Jesus said he did. That man was saved that day because he humbled himself before a holy, holy, holy God. You know, Romans chapter 10 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, we've got to come to him. And it's humility unto salvation. We need to know that God is the one that has saved us. We cannot save ourselves. And when you come to grips with that and reality of that, you can be saved. In Psalm 40, the Bible tells us, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Proverbs 28, the Bible tells us, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You understand that God will save the humble. When we humble ourselves before a holy, holy, holy God, he will hear us and he will save us. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 23 for me, if you would. Matthew chapter 23 and look at verse 5. Matthew, of course, is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. It often takes a lot for one to humble themselves because we as human beings are naturally prideful creatures. We are. And some maybe more than others, but it's still there. Still there. Are you there in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 23? Look what it says. "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. and loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You know what's wrong with the Pharisees and the scribes and all these religious leaders? They refused to humble themselves before a holy God. They refused to accept that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They rejected him. They rejected him. They were following their traditions. They did not want to lose their positions as religious leaders. Hey, listen, I am so glad that Nicodemus, he had the sense, although he did come to Jesus by night because he didn't want anybody else to see, but at least he had the sense to come to Jesus. And I believe he was saved because he listened to what Jesus had to say. He had to probably set aside his pride and humble himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because don't you forget, he was a religious leader. He was a master. He was a rabbi. And that was a special thing. And they worked really hard for that. And all the pomp and all the things that went with being a Pharisee or a Sadducee was something that was difficult to give up. Remember the rich young ruler? He went to Jesus and he said, hey, what do I have to do? And Jesus said, well, keep all this, do all this. He said, I've done that since I was a youth. He said, all right, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. He said, the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had much possessions. He's rich. He want to give it up. You know what? When we learn to give up everything and trust the Lord, that's humility. That's humility. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Not only does humility bring us unto salvation, but it brings us unto unity of the brethren. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 1. Humility brings us into unity with the brethren. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This passage of Scripture is the epitome of what we ought to be to one another. We ought to humble ourselves. You know, the disciples, they had this problem throughout the ministry of who was going to be the greatest disciple. Remember that? They would argue back and forth. And, I'm going to be great. He's going to be, Lord, who's going to be the greatest? Right? And I think he felt like he was with a bunch of children sometimes with the disciples. And he's like, guys, knock it off. This is silly. He said, you know what? Really, honestly and truly, he said, if you're going to be the greatest, you're going to be the servant of all. You know, a servant, you think of a servant as lowly, right? You think of a servant as underneath or below something else. Listen, can I tell you something? Being a servant is not so bad. It's actually kind of fun. It's great being a servant. It is. It's great being a servant. We have to learn to love being a servant. Hey, you know what I like to do? I like to help other people. It's fun to help other people. It's fun to be a blessing to other people. It's not a drudgery. And listen, it ought to be something that you enjoy. Esteeming others better than yourself. Being like-minded. Being of one accord. Having the same love. Serving one another. Caring for one another. You know, the Bible talks much about how we ought to care for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, I'm above that. Well, that's your problem. That's your problem. The truth is, we're not above that. We're not. If we put ourselves in perspective as far as how we're viewed in God's eyes, we're all servants. Can I tell you something? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll bring up a passage of scripture to represent this. But I'm not better than any of you. I'm a sinner saved by grace just like everybody else. This just happens to be a position that God has asked me to fill. That's all it is. It's a position. And there's responsibilities and there's some honor, if you will, that comes with being a pastor, but it's not for me. It's for God. I just get to be a servant. And I get to serve in this place, and you get to serve in your place, and we all get to serve the Lord. And one is not better than another. That's humility. We need to live in humility. You know what that brings? Unity. You know, if my finger thinks that it's better than my eyeball, my finger and my eyeball are going to have a problem. And there's going to be some backbiting, and there's going to be some arguing, and there's going to be, well, I'm better than you. I can do your job better than you can, and back and forth, back and forth. That's not how a body should operate. Right? And my finger's like, I'm going to be an eyeball today. Wouldn't that be weird? Okay, and your eyeball being a finger, that'd be really strange. No, we can't do that. But when we are able to humble ourselves, we can serve the Lord as we should. In 1 Peter chapter 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're to be one in Christ Jesus. That's God's will for our lives. In Proverbs 27, it tells us not to boast thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. We know from Scripture that a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. I told you I'd read a passage about Paul and about this humility. That Paul was a great man. Started a lot of churches, saw a lot of people saved, did great things. Wrote 13 books of the New Testament. It says here, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was humble in the sight of his peers. He called all these preachers and he said, listen, I've been the same way to you the whole time, serving with all humility of mind. Being humble is important unto salvation and unto unity of the brethren. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 57. Probably most important of all. I told you before, I think, I don't know if it was last Sunday or another day, your relationship from you to God, if it's no good, your relationship from man to man won't be any good. We got to be right with God before we can ever be right with one another. So not only, you say, we already talked about being coming before God and humbling ourselves before Him for salvation and coming to Him and calling upon His name and trusting Christ. And then I've already humbled myself to God, yes, but are you still there? But are you still there? Have you gone back? Are you now trusting in yourself? When's the last time you prayed and asked God for anything? Are you self-sufficient? Because He's blessed you? You're just like, oh, I don't need God anymore. I haven't prayed in 3 years. Oh my. I haven't called out to God to deliver me from anything because everything's great. I got money in bank account, got food in the fridge, car's running just fine, and we're all happy. Okay. Well, not only is humility important unto salvation and unto unity of the brethren, but it's also important unto a vibrant relationship with God. A vibrant relationship with God. Are you there in Isaiah chapter 57? Look at verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You know what? God wants to dwell with us. He wants, if you will, to have fellowship with us and a fruitful, vibrant relationship. But it's us. It's up to us to humble ourselves continually, to be of a contrite spirit and heart. In James chapter 4, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We need to humble ourselves unto a vibrant relationship with God. You know, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. King Josiah had an opportunity to not be like his forefathers and to serve God. He chose to do so and received a blessing. Here's the account and testimony that the Bible records of King Josiah. The prophet is speaking and says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. You know what? Josiah's attitude and his wisdom in being humble before a holy, holy God was a benefit to him. Here's what he did. He heard these words, and in verse 31 it says, "And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the word of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers." So for a moment in time, because of humility, the judgment of God was stayed. Oh, now it came afterwards. But because Josiah decided to humble himself before his God, he received the blessing. Don't you want blessings in your life? Don't you want God to do something great in your life? Hey, listen, Josiah could have said, "You know what? All right, guys, let's just hang it up. God's going to judge us. He's going to do all these wicked things to us. Oh, well. Such is life." But he didn't. He humbled himself before God, and God saw it and decided to bless him. In Jeremiah chapter 9, the Bible tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Hey, listen, God wants you to be successful. God wants you to use your talents for him. But listen, don't get to the point where you lift up your heart in pride and begin to say, "It's me." Don't do that. Oh, you might be mighty, but God is the one that made you mighty. Oh, you might be smart and have wisdom and cunning and all those things, but it's not you, it's God. Or you might have riches, but it's not you, it's God. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. It's God is the one. You understand, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. Before destruction of the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul
shall be far from them. You understand that God wants us, if you will, to live in humility because He is the one that deserves glory and honor and praise and majesty in our lives. We don't deserve any of that. Hey, listen, it's not about you or me. It's about Him. And if we can wrap our heads around that, we'll be better servants of God. Practicing humility. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. And declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You know what God wants? He wants fellowship. He wants fellowship with us. God cannot fellowship with darkness. Cannot. He is light. And if we're going to walk with Him and talk with Him and have a relationship with Him, we've got to humble ourselves before God. We've got to confess our faults, which is hard to do. How many times have you just said, "Oh, God, forgive me of my sins"? That's the easy way out. You know what's hard to do? "God, forgive me of this. Forgive me of this. Forgive me of this." You know what happens every time you mention one of those? Yeah? Pretty soon you feel like you're this big. But you know what? That's good. That's good. Because we are this big. We are. Practicing humility is a difficult task. Maybe something easy to say, but hard to do. But can I tell you something? I think, without question, there's a mountain of evidence that suggests that the characteristic of humility is important to a successful Christian life. Maybe you're really good at it. I know I'm not really good at it. Now, I'd like to think maybe I have a little bit. But I could have more. I could have more in my life. And maybe you could too. Humility unto salvation. Humility unto unity of the brethren. And humility unto a vibrant relationship with God. Characteristic of humility.